Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in our man Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. You can hear every Monday through Friday, noon to 1, the daily podcast with BA, which is a great, great listen. Brandon, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning and Happy New Year to both of you. Thanks for having me on the show today.
And let's get right to it.
I was going to say, nothing to talk about, so Brandon.
Right, exactly. We were talking about Dick Cheney earlier, and we thought, oh, wait a minute, we got the wrong Cheney. Jim Cheney's who we need to be talking about here. But, take us through what's going down with this, in your opinion.
So, you know, last night we were at an event, and as the event's concluding, you hear the official report that it is official. I shouldn't say official because that has been confirmed by Tennessee, but certainly people are going on the record saying that Jim Cheney was going to Tennessee to become its offensive coordinator. I think we'd all heard those rumblings over the last couple of days. I was really of the belief last night, you know, you can add this to the list of things I've been wrong about, I guess, but I was really of the belief last night that the Cheney stuff was about to die down. I was starting to see some other names pop up as rumored candidates for the Tennessee offensive coordinator. So I was under the impression that, you know, maybe that rumor had kind of run its course, but no, it hadn't. He is taking that job. Then, you know, the debate becomes, is this an issue of Tennessee swooping in and getting Georgia's offensive coordinator, or Georgia kind of, you know, opening the door for Cheney to move out because Kirby Smart wants to go a different direction with the offense? Obviously, both sides of this, the Georgia side, the Tennessee side, are going to spin this their way. I think the one thing that does stand as a pretty definitive piece of proof of what may have gone on behind the scenes is the fact that, Mike Griffith from Dog Nation is reporting that, you know, Cheney's going to make somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 million at Tennessee. I believe that's going to make him the highest paid offensive coordinator in college football. So the notion that Georgia declined to match that and essentially allowed Cheney to leave, that would seem to be backed up by the salary report that's out there from Mike at Dog Nation that, you know, $1.5 million is just too much to pay for Jim Cheney, and Tennessee is going to choose to mortgage its future there in that regard in terms of, you know, hitching itself to with a very high contract, you know, to a guy like Cheney. It sounds like Georgia just wasn't all that enthused to do that based on the reports we've learned in the last, I'd say, you know, 7 or 8 hours.
You know, and the thing about Cheney is, I have to say this, I'm indifferent to this. I mean, okay, if he was back, I'd be okay with that, him leaving doesn't get me all bent out of shape or anything like that either. What's your feeling on it?
Yeah, so, Dave, I think it's really interesting to hear you say that because you are a sports radio veteran. You've been doing this job for a long time. I think the thing that you know is, I don't mean to sound cynical, but there's a nature of this is just undeniably true. Fans are always dissatisfied with play calling.
Yeah.
They're dissatisfied with Mike Bobo's play calling. They're dissatisfied with Jim Cheney's play calling. They're going to be dissatisfied, at least a pocket of them, with the next guy's play calling. You know, statistically speaking, Georgia's offense was among the very best in the country. I mean, if you look at things like the ESPN FPI data, for instance, Georgia's offense was ranked right behind Alabama and Clemson and ahead of Ohio State and Oklahoma, two programs that had Heisman finalists at quarterback. Now, there were these odd moments like the LSU game where the offense seemed to disappear, the Sugar Bowl to the extent that you care about that, where the offense seemed to disappear, and some of that would seem to be laid at the feet of Cheney. But for the most part, you know, Dave, I'm kind of like you. As long as they can hold on to Sam Pittman, I really don't care who the offensive coordinator is.
Yeah.
It can be Jim Cheney. It can be James Coley. It could be Jay Johnson, who, you know, just left Georgia to go to Colorado. I sort of don't care as long as the thing that really works for Georgia right now, these big, giant offensive linemen and their ability to open up holes for the running game, as long as that stays in place because that's the wagon that Georgia's hitched itself to, then just tell me who the offensive coordinator is going to be. But I'm not into the thing of, well, Cheney's got to go for this reason, or so-and-so ought to be hired for this reason. I mean, you know, the Georgia offense is Sam Pittman right now. And, you know, as long as he stays, and I guess there's, you know, some rumblings that's certainly the direction that he's leaning in, although, you know, maybe it's fair to say that hasn't been made official yet. But as long as Pittman stays, the offensive coordinator at Georgia is actually more of a more of a secondary thought, which makes it probably different than most programs. But I think at Georgia, that's undeniably true.
Talking with Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily.
Yeah, and that's, you know, obviously one way of thinking about it, not, you know, necessarily caring, or at least it not being as important who the offensive coordinator is when Georgia just continues to rack up these offensive line recruits. But it is an interesting hire because you've got a very, you know, veteran quarterback who has done great things here at Georgia and Jake Fromm. So you would think that people on the outside, if that is where they go, you know, James Coley is a name that's certainly being talked about with
sure.
his job. But if they do go outside, you know, obviously you've got a very attractive offense and a lot of weapons to work with. Could you see Georgia maybe kind of falling into the moment or being a victim of the moment, so to speak, in some of these coaching hires we're seeing and trying to keep up with the Joneses on offense, like we're seeing these just ridiculous Clemson and Alabama and Oklahoma offenses? Or do you think they're more content with keeping things the way that they have them?
So I think that's a really interesting question, Sam. And let me, you know, touch on a few things there as a part of that. First of all, kind of follow up on the notion of quote-unquote not caring who the Georgia offensive coordinator is. There's no denying that Georgia had some offensive issues this season. How they used Justin Fields was bizarre. I don't think Georgia had a game-breaking, game-changing wide receiver. And, you know, when you look at the overall issues the program faced, exactly which of those were Jim Chaney's fault, I think it's really hard to decipher here. If you had a problem with the Georgia offense, one of the questions that you have to ask yourself, and I'm talking to the audience, you know, one of the questions you have to ask yourself if you have a problem with the Georgia offense is this a philosophical issue instituted by Smart, the head coach, or is this a tactical issue deployed by the offensive coordinator, the guy that's no longer here anymore, Jim Chaney? I think that's something to wrestle with. As far as, you know, Georgia going with a, you know, an outside hire and, you know, trying to be more like these other offenses, you know, Sam, the one thing I would say is if you look statistically at the offenses that you mentioned, there's really not that big of a difference between them and Georgia. I would say that when you talk about the truly top-tier offenses in college football, Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia, I don't think there's a whole lot of statistical evidence that Georgia lags behind, you know, very many of them at all. Now, if you want to say the results speak for themselves and Georgia wasn't a playoff team and three of those other teams were, you know, I'll certainly, you know, join you in saying that. But from a statistical standpoint, I think Georgia is in that group. And I think when you look at the group below the five teams I just mentioned, you do start to see a pretty, you know, significant chasm form, you know, beyond that. The other thing here is, and I'll make two quick points. You're moving into Jake Fromm's junior season. So to bring in some outside name and ask Fromm what is probably the most pivotal year of his career, he'll either become a first-round draft pick this year or he won't, to ask him to be introduced to a new offensive mind, new offensive system in this pivotal third year when what he has done this past year seemed to work, you know, pretty well, I think that'd be a tough thing to ask Fromm to do. And if you do want to go more up-tempo, if you do want to go more, you know, spread concepts the way that, you know, some of these teams, you know, have done so, there's no free lunch in life or football. There's a, you know, there's a payback for that at some point in time. Big offensive linemen who have, a, you know, maybe a little harder time, you know, maintaining that pace. You may lose something in the running game along the way, and you may put your defense in a tough spot somewhere along the way as well. So there is more to think about than just, hey, you know, who can Georgia bring in that gives them an offense, you know, like, you know, what Oklahoma did with Kyler Murray? You know, there's a little more to think about there because I do think there are some moving parts that you have to also, you know, maintain in all of that.
Asking you to speculate here, and I said earlier in the show, I think that there might have been something to this, but it was just my own opinion. Do you think the way the whole Justin Fields situation played out all season long and then ultimately to him transferring – kind of left a bad taste, a little bit of bad residue over there as well?
You know, it's really hard not to want to draw a line between these two stories. And that's one of the reasons why right now, if nothing else, Georgia's dealing with a little bit of a PR issue where it sort of looks like it doesn't have all its ducks in a row offensively. You know, Fields transfers to Ohio State. You know, most fans think that Georgia used him poorly. Even if some of that's, you know, to blame on Fields, the marriage just didn't work out. And now you've got Jim Chaney leaving. David, I'll also add to that the fact that, you know, top player in Georgia, Jaden Hazelwood, a five-star wide receiver, just chose Oklahoma over the in-state school and made it very clear along the way that he wasn't happy with the Georgia offense as one of the reasons why he went out there. So that's another potential blight on this situation. But, you know, it's going to be very convenient now that Chaney's the one on the way out the door to lay all of that blame at his feet and say, well, now that he's gone, things are going to be better going forward. Sometimes that might feel like too convenient of an explanation for all of this. And, you know, Kirby Smart maybe toting a little more responsibility on some of this than, you know, than maybe it's going to be spun as. But it's certainly hard not to draw some sort of line between the field story and the Chaney story, because they are these two big, gigantic stories that have happened within a few days of each other.
Talking with Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily, noon to 1 here on 960 The Ref.
Yeah, and obviously how that situation went down, and it feels like to me, and I've said this, with the field situation, with the guys leaving, with some of the reaction to the sort of, and I'll even go ahead and call it what I think it was, a mini locker room divide, because some of the guys, you know, after the Sugar Bowl clearly showed that, you know, they were big fans of Justin Fields, so to speak. So I think sort of a cleansing with some of the guys that left, maybe some of the guys that were more focused on other things, and also Jim Chaney, you know, it just kind of feels like Georgia maybe needed, and I think toxicity is a very strong word to use, but there was definitely a funk following the Sugar Bowl, and maybe, you know, sort of a cleansing, that's a word I keep going back to, it was necessary.
Well, you know, the other thing to add to that, Sam, is, and we're going to talk about this on Dog Nation Daily later on today, but ESPN appears to have published and then deleted some text in Chris Lowe's story last night about Chaney taking the Tennessee job that strongly suggested that Chaney and Jim Coley, James Coley, who may indeed move into the offensive coordinator role here, that Chaney and Coley didn't see eye to eye, and that, you know, Chaney was dissatisfied with the fact that Coley was kind of, I'm going to use my own words here, kind of elbowing his way into that, you know, offensive coordinator role, and Chaney was suddenly having to share duties with Coley. Now, ESPN had that originally in its text of its story last night. Looks like it's deleted that now. Hard to know why that was once in there and now not in there anymore. But that's also kind of part of this as well. You talk about, you know, maybe a divided locker room about, you know, players lining up, you know, behind the two quarterbacks. I can't really speak to that, but at least there's, you know, some rumblings out there that maybe some of the offensive coaches weren't on the same page. And what's frustrating for fans about that is, okay, so if Chaney and Coley were at odds here, we don't know which one guy wanted to do what the other guy wanted to do. I mean, if you look at Chaney's track record, you know, he hasn't always been a run-first offensive coordinator. So it's a little bit hard to kind of get a vision in your mind of if Chaney and Coley were arguing about play calling, what they were actually arguing about.
Interesting, too, with Chaney's basically his resume. He's really, other than when he was at Purdue for 7 or 8 years, this is kind of following his career arc. He's at a place for about 3 or 4 years and now headed to Tennessee. Do you feel – I know you're one of the ultimate Gator haters. Does this put any more fear into you as a Georgia fan that Chaney is back at Tennessee?
That's a good question. You know, well, first of all, let me say this. Before I answer that, let me quickly, you talked about, you know, Chaney moving around. Not to, you know, just throw a bunch of hearsay out there. But, I mean, I've talked to people who've talked to Chaney, and I certainly think that he was aware of the criticism, you know, that's out there. I don't know that he was necessarily bothered by that. But I think for a lot of offensive coordinators, you know, kind of staying one step ahead of the restlessness and just sort of natural dissatisfaction of college football fans, I think in some respects that's sort of a, you know, a job strategy, and maybe for Chaney there's part of that as well. As far as him being at Tennessee and what that means for Georgia and the SEC East, I do believe that Jim Chaney is a competent offensive coordinator. I think that Tennessee is better for having him. There are plenty of Georgia fans who think Georgia will be better without him, but Tennessee is also, I think, better for having him. The ultimate question, though, is does Tennessee have enough offensive pieces for the, you know, the Chaney plays to work? I think in 2019, the likelihood of that is probably no. But if he sticks around there for 2 or 3 years, by the time that's all done, they actually may have a pretty good offense. And I think that Chaney being at Tennessee, I think, greatly ensures the likelihood that maybe Jeremy Pruitt can find a way to hang around for that sort of 3, 4, 5 year mark. You know, the brightest fires burn out the quickest, and there was certainly some thought when Jeremy Pruitt was first hired up, is he just going to burn out at Tennessee, and are fans going to get tired of his intense personality before he has a chance to establish his program? All of a sudden, Tennessee with Jim Chaney, I do think, is a little more stable. They may not be much better in 2019. They'll probably be incrementally better, maybe not all that much better. But by 2020 or 2021, I do think they are more of a threat to the other teams in the SEC East because I do believe that Chaney's a competent play caller.
Hey, you mentioned, I don't know if you were kind of joking or whatever, Jay Johnson. I mean, that's a name that intrigues me. And has that ship sailed since he has gone to Colorado with Coach Tucker?
Well, you know, they brought Scott Fountain back last year after he initially left. And so I guess if Georgia wanted to go get Jay Johnson, they could. And if there's a way to bring him back, a guy like that, who is also friends with Sam Pittman, I'm led to believe, and I think has a good understanding of what Georgia's trying to do offensively, I'd be all in favor of it. But the one thing that I'm going to be adamant about is that James Coley is, I think, an integral part of the Georgia program even before he becomes Georgia offensive coordinator. So for the fan who says, you know, we're going to keep Coley parked where he is and we're going to bring somebody else in to be the offensive coordinator, like Jay Johnson coming back from Colorado or something like that, because obviously Georgia can afford to pay him more than Colorado can, and Georgia's just a better job. The person who has that idea, I think that's wishful thinking, because I think that James Coley is a fast riser in the coaching ranks. I think he's going to be a head coach one day. He's an unbelievable recruiter. A lot of the guys on the Georgia roster are there because of Coley. So, you know, I think that promoting Coley may be the thing that you have to do in order to keep him. Georgia just fought off Texas A&M for him a year ago. And, you know, if somebody gets promoted over Coley here, I think there's a very good chance that Coley's on his way out the door. And I do think that'd be a big loss for the Georgia program before you even get to the play calling situation.
Do you feel, and I'm not comparing, well, I guess it's going to sound like I am, but like Bama did that with Tosh Lupoi and it didn't seem like it worked out ultimately for them. Is that the risk you run into potentially, though?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess, Dave, the one thing I'd say in response to that is that James Coley has been an offensive coordinator before. It's not like Lapoy moving into a role where he was very young and hadn't been a defensive coordinator. You know, Coley was Miami's offensive coordinator not all that long ago. You know, he's worked with Jimbo Fisher. You know, so Coley as a coach does have credentials. Now, there are plenty of fans who say they didn't like his offense at Miami, and Miami fans were unhappy and ready for him to go there as well. But we've already talked about the fact that no fan base is seemingly all that happy with his team's offensive coordinator. So I would say that the Coley track record is a little beefier than Lapoy's was, because, you know, Lapoy does get that Alabama defensive coordinator job, you know, largely on the basis of his ability to recruit. But, you know, Coley's just got a little bit more of a track record of experience there. I really wouldn't have any problem at all if Coley was named offensive coordinator. But I know some fans are going to feel like that's not an imaginative enough hire.
Brandon, I wanted to ask you about the running back situation at Georgia going into 2019, because you're bringing back DeAndre Swift and James Cook, and every indication to be that James Cook is going to see a very increased role next season. But the third kind of a question mark guy is Zamir White, obviously dealing with the ACL tears in one in each knee over the past few years. So that's obviously going to be a hard thing to come back from. But it's also, he's more of the kind of thunder type back that Georgia's losing in Elijah Holyfield. So, not that you're necessarily counting on him getting back to being like this 100% beast that we all thought he was going to be, but you know, at the same time, that would certainly be a nice boost because Georgia kind of needs that style of back.
Yeah, you're right about that. Whoever the offensive coordinator is going to be made job easier if Zamir White looks like Zamir White. One of the things I think I take some comfort in, I think Georgia fans should too, is Elijah Holyfield was a 1,000-yard rusher this season after only getting 50 carries in 2017. So the idea that to be, you know, an integral part of the Georgia running game, you had to have done that the year before, Holyfield kind of confounds that belief just with how he grew from 2017 through 2018. So that does give you hope for James Cook, who had about, I want to say, 46 carries this year. I may be slightly off on that, but I'm generally correct. And Zamir White, who did not play at all. The other thing to be a little anxious about is the fact that, you know, DeAndre Swift, you know, spent part of the year last year, not 2018, this most recent season, not 100% healthy. You know, the other thing is as Zamir White gets healthier and James Cook grows into a role where he's going to get more carries and be a bigger part of the Georgia offense, you know, DeAndre Swift staying fully healthy for a year and really being that kind of guy that you can lean on for the full season to be as good all year long as he was in November, that's going to be crucial and a part of this as well. And if that, you know, does take place, you're talking about a three-headed monster of James Cook, Zamir White, and DeAndre Swift at running back. And Georgia should still be in pretty good shape with all of that.
B.A., always great talking to you. We'll look forward to the to the show today. Always great. And as we like to tell everybody, Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily, noon to one right here on The Ref. Thanks, Brandon.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys. You'll have a great day.
All right. Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.